This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. Raising a child with special needs is a rocky journey for any family, with challenges related to the child's development, health, education, and much more. Now imagine facing additional barriers when it comes to purchasing insurance to protect your child, something so fundamental that I think some of us take for granted. How would that impact your child and your family? Today, I'm going to explore why inclusivity is important when we're considering insurance, and how a personal accident insurance plan for children with special needs came about, but also a broader look at, you know, what parents and families go through and what really do they want when it comes to being able to provide that security for their children. Today, I'm speaking to Sun Yi Ching, an insurance agent, as well as Mrs. Yap, parent of child with special needs. How are the both of you today?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me. So let's get some background and make sure we're on the same page. If you could help us understand, Yi Ching, what kind of insurance coverage, I guess, has typically been available for children with special needs, if at all?
Actually, before that, we need to touch on the type of disabilities in Malaysia, at least, right? We do have 7 types of disabilities. So there are learning, mental, physical, multiple disabilities, visual impairment, hearing impairment, and speech impairment. Okay. Actually, there are a couple of insurance companies does launch a basic cover like personal accident for people with disabilities. Okay. In year 2015, but they only offer a low limit, like up to 100,000, up to 150,000. But however, some of the insurance provider, they're still excluding person with learning and mental disabilities in the cover.
When you say learning and mental disabilities, could you give us some examples of what conditions that would cover?
People with limitations in learning, for example, Down syndrome, people ADHD, and autism is definitely one of them.
So, Mrs. Yap, could you give us an idea of what are the struggles your family has been through with regard to purchasing insurance for your child?
For me, I have actually bought insurance for my child since he was 1 month old, but the challenge that I faced was when I wanted to upgrade his medical plan. And because he has autism, he was diagnosed at about 3 years old. So because he has that diagnosis now and I want to upgrade his medical plan, I am unable to. Because they said, okay, what the agent told me was that the company might reject me and my policy might just, I don't know, it might become void. So she said what they advised was for me just to continue paying my medical card as it is. And I'm wondering, even when he is after 21, what happens to it after when he's 21? Would it still continue on? So that was something that I was left hanging.
I see. So just to be clear, your child was diagnosed with autism when he was 3. So the earlier, you had purchased
when he was 1 month old.
So that there was no diagnosis then. And
yes.
So there were no issues for you in terms
no
of purchase.
Issues.
And your child is now a teenager?
He's now, yes, he's 14 years old. And so I'm still continuing paying for his medical card as it is, but I have not declared to the insurance company that he has received the diagnosis of being an autistic child.
All right. So that means it was on the advice of your insurance agent not to apply to upgrade because of the possibility that you will be rejected and even your current insurance would be void.
Right? Yes.
What are your thoughts on that, Yi Ching? How common is that, you know, that you have encountered?
Yeah. Yes. What Mrs. Yap's concern is actually valid. Good and bad. Good thing is she had early prepared for a plan for her child. But yes, unfortunately, once her child diagnosed with autism, right? Yes, she will face rejections if she decided to upgrade the plan now with any insurance provider. It's the truth.
Okay, so is that in black and white that children with autism and the other, say, learning and developmental disabilities will be rejected?
There is no black and white per se from the, like, let's say we're doing a quotations for MD client, right? There is no a black and white per se from the quotations point of view. But this is like a general knowledge from the industry. Doing that, children with disability, children with autistic will be a declined risk.
What are your concerns, Mrs. Yap, with regard to that lack of protection for your child, especially like you said, you know, after the age of 21 when his current policy lapses? What are you worried about?
You see, a sickness could attack any one of us. Being a normal person or, you know, being someone with disability, you might just get any sickness or let's just say dengue, cancer or whatever, touch wood. But I mean, just because he has autism doesn't mean he won't be able to get cancer. And why does normal people get protected, get to be covered by insurance and not this people with disability? So it would be a really, really heavy financial burden because as parents, we're already spending a lot on their therapies and other so-called learning stuff. Mm-hmm. But then still, yeah, when it comes to medical, it will be also a heavy part of financial. So with insurance, it will really help us a lot. Yeah, but because if it's not covering, then it's a different story altogether. Yeah.
And I'm sure you come across many other parents in the same situation. Have there been ways that they've tried to get around it? Are there any other experiences that you could share with us?
The thing is, some of these parents have said that because our children have OKU card, so you would have access to government hospitals, government doctors and all that. But with the current pandemic going on and that situation, sometimes you require maybe a private room for your kid to get well at. Sometimes it's easier for us to be more reassured that they are not exposed to other people. We want a private room for our kid to get well. So, right. But for a government hospital, sometimes the beds are full and you cannot just say, I want, you know, even though it's like, it's not up to us when we go to when we use our OKU card and we go to government hospital, it's different. But I have to say, our doctors are good. Our local doctors all are good. It's just that we need to have choices too. Yes, we need to have choices too.
Absolutely. And it's not about you wanting to have a privilege for your child, but very often children with special needs, they need, perhaps with children with autism, a child with autism may be very, very distressed, right? If they're in a crowded space, if it's a full ward with a lot of other patients, it may actually make their condition worse, right?
Yes, it may. And then sometimes they don't really sleep through the night. So you wouldn't want to disturb other patients as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yiching, I guess, you know, if you are aware at all, from the insurance provider's perspective, what are the issues when it comes to insuring children with these very specific conditions?
Okay. Actually, from the insurance provider perspective, right, when it comes to insuring children with special needs, they face a lot of uncertainties. Yeah. A lot of technical knowledge and basic beyond normal underwriting is most probably needed before they can decide on the rate and on the risk factor for the children. Actually, there are solutions for it, but perhaps insurance company is not looking into it in a big way, because I think a lot of prudent underwriting, they need to go beyond that from what they are currently practicing. Current practice is like, you know, it's always easy to look at the pro of people whereby they are normal, they function normally. So if you ask them to look beyond something which is surpassing this, they need a lot more effort, more significant underwriting. But actually, there's a solution for it, I would say. Yeah, if you don't mind me commenting further. For example, individual with disability, they may be rated on certain different conditions. Yeah. And policy, they may be issued or charged based on level of functioning of the insured person, individual, right? For an example, a high functioning person, because in autistic, their range is actually from very mild to very severe. And the easy way to put this scenario is we can probably say a high functioning person there can qualify for more insured amount compared to a person with severe impairment, then they can offer them with a lower amount. So what they have to do is actually now it's not based on book underwriting anymore. It's not like as simple as if you fulfill criteria A and B and C, I offer you this. So it's very standard. They can look beyond that. Okay. This statistic is actually from the worldwide of the individual measurement. Yeah. Like what Mrs. Yap say, we look into her conditions. A high functioning autistic, comparably, they have an IQ of 70. So that person should have no or only minimal impairment in sensory, water ability, and should have well-developed language skills, which means they can speak very well. They can tell you if they feel comfortable, they can tell you if they can't, they're not comfortable, they cannot say. And we are looking into a very severe case. A profile functioning autism is comparable to an IQ of about 20 or less. So we see it's 70 versus 20 or less. So this particular person have very minimal speech development. They do not have much self-care ability, might need to live very closely under supervision conditions, okay? And they can only perform very little tasks by training. So maybe if you ask me, if insurance company, they reject people with very severe conditions because it's a world that they are known, they cannot find a random underwriting way to offer the risk and the rate, then I think it's reasonable. But if their decisions now is majority of the insurance company, the moment they hear the word of learning disability, autism, Down syndrome, I reject it upfront without understanding further. I feel it's not to say unfair because I understand the constraint as well as in perhaps they do not know how to do it, they underwrite it. But I think they need to develop a new book, per se, a new book. Try to look into these conditions. Actually, there is a lot of reports, a report from the doctor, a report from the therapist, specialist, that they will be able to put in a proper manner the condition of their specific individual, be it adult, a child, which will assist in the underwriting process.
All right, we'll go for a quick break now. And when we come back, Mrs. Yap, I'd like to find out, whether you've spoken to healthcare professionals, perhaps your child's doctor, to get them to help, and what has that journey been like. And we'll also look at the personal accident insurance plan that specifically caters to children with special needs, how that came about. I'm speaking today to Sun Yi Ching, an insurance agent, and Mrs. Yap, a parent of a child away with autism. We'll be right back on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. I'm joined today by my guests, Sun Yi Ching, insurance agent, and Mrs. Yap, parent of a child with autism. Now, you might think this is a bit of an interesting pairing up. We're actually discussing insurance for children with special needs, and we've already heard from Yi Ching and Mrs. Yap that for children, especially with learning disabilities such as autism, Down syndrome, or ADHD, and I'm sure there are many more that fall under this category, these children have very limited access to insurance policies. We've heard Mrs. Yap's own struggle to upgrade the medical card for her teenage child, and the very real possibility that he will be unprotected when he reaches adulthood, as she will most likely be rejected if she tries to apply for a medical card with his diagnosis of autism. Yi Ching, what about insurance policies other than medical cards? Would families face the same issues there as well?
Talk about the common insurance that majority people will be looking into are personal accident, travel, when you need to travel, medical card, critical illness, life, and saving. Okay, the first few we usually needed in our life. Personal accident, yes. Previously, yes, but now at least we have the access to it, but still limited access. As in, insurance company will restrict the amount special needs entitled to cover for. Medical insurance so far is still upfront rejections, deny entirely. For life, if life individual is still possible, same case with critical illness is a denial. They do not offer at all, which I agree, Mrs. Yap. There is then equal chance to get a cancer compared to a person, normal person. Okay, saving is not an issue. Anybody is entitled for it, be it special and not special needs. So what insurance company now advising majority of the parents, special needs children especially, is yes, they can still get the saving plan. Travel is still a half, 50-50%, I would say. Some of the time they'll reject, some of the time they'll accept.
Seems very inconsistent.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, true.
So, Mrs. Yap, just now Yi Ching talked about, you know, one of the possible solutions is to, you know, have the healthcare providers vouch for, you know, what is the condition of the child, what kind of functioning, what level. Now, in your situation or with other parents that you've come across, have you tried to speak to your child's doctor to get them to try and appeal? Has any of that worked at all?
Okay. I have talked this through with my child's doctor before, and what she asked me if he has already have a policy, have insurance. Then I said, yes, I bought it when he was a child. So she said, oh, it's good, just keep it. But she also mentioned something about at the moment, because it was a few years ago. So she mentioned to me that to keep it as it is. And if I were to admit him into a hospital because of fever or a fall, so I would have to talk to the attending doctor not to declare anything to do with autism in there. Okay. What she told me was, because there's a 50-50% or so, that the insurance company might just use that disability and not cover for my child. So true enough, my son did have a fall, a bad concussion that needs hospitalization. So I had to talk to the attending doctor. I said, this is a fall caused by a mistake. Any child would, you know, fall, you know. So this is an accident. No one wants an accident. It is an accident. So can you just, when you write in a report, can you just not say that this is a child with special needs or whatever? So they agreed to it. But some might say that it's not necessary not to, you know, it's not necessary at all. I mean, the insurance will still cover. But I still feel that just to be safe on my side, I would feel much more safer to tell the doctor, please don't declare, because it has, the fall has nothing to do with autism. Yeah, so yeah. That, so I don't know how insurance works, but then I think all parents like me would have that fear.
None of us know how insurance works.
Yeah, I think they will have that fear that the insurance will not cover just for a simple thing like that.
I totally understand how you as a parent would feel, and you don't want to have that possibility. You'd rather be safer and take the advice of your doctor. Yi Ching, presumably Mrs. Yap's doctor has encountered something like this before, and that's why the doctor advised that, right? Is that a common situation?
I guess that's it's a common situation in the real world out there. Yes, but in actual fact, right, I have told Mrs. Sa before, it will not happen that way, because your cover is already in place before you know that your child is special needs. So it's a normal policy for a child. It will not happen that way. But I guess this fear, right, is the uncertainties that many of the parents will feel when you have a special need at home. You see, these are the impact. Not knowing how insurance works is one thing. Mm-hmm. Having fear, and then there is no like security, you know. I hope that my child will be protected, but at the same time, I'm uncertain. Yeah, so it's very common.
I guess that fear comes from the fact that you know that there is rejection in place for some policies. So, What is your personal story related to this, Yi Ching? I know you are behind the personal accident cover for children with special needs. You want to tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Okay, me myself, right? I'm actually a parent to a special need as well. I'm an insurance agent, but I'm also a mommy to a four kids, yeah? To four kids. And one of it diagnosed with autistic when he is at the age of 4.5, around there, 4 years old. And I guess the feeling for all mother will be the same. We get shocked and we do not know what to do next. You know, what can we do to help him, to help us? Insurance cover at that time is actually not even near my mind, yeah? Until I enroll him to a special needs school. Yes, he's doing very well there, but kids being a kids, they will suffer injury, they will suffer accident, they will fall sick. Yeah? Not because they are special needs, just because they are kids and normal human being. So when one day he actually had some injury, I asked school, I asked them, hey, how come you do not offer me any insurance cover for my kids coming to your school, just like my any other kids? They went to Sekolah Kebangsaan, they went to kindergarten. The first thing, together with the enrollment form, they passed me a piece of insurance enrollment. Enroll your kids into these schemes. Yeah, all of our kids are actually in the scheme. Then the answer to me back then was, oh no, it's not because we do not want to offer you, it's because we are being rejected by the insurance company. I say, huh, even as simple as personal accident, you're getting rejections? They say yes. And that's how I started want to fight for it. You know, in the insurance industry myself for the past 20 years, actually before I become an agent, I worked in an insurance company in multiple roles, claims, underwriting, medical for many years. So I know how they work. And I'm not satisfied, actually. This is what made me to work towards the getting the treatment nearer, fair treatment nearer, just like any other children.
And so how has the process been to get this particular personal accident policy off the ground?
Yeah, I will say the process is actually pretty lengthy. Just if anyone, I will say it, yeah, from the insurance industry itself, or not even now. The moment you heard personal accidents, the first thing cross your mind is if I death, then I get payroll. If I have any accident, I get paid by the insurance company. It's very simple and basic cover. And it surprised me the process can be that lengthy. It started from the day that we sit down with the insurance company, marketing team, claims team, underwriting team. Yeah, sit down together and we discuss about these situations. The product we want them to put in place, the reason why we want to put them in place, and we think it's valid. All these justifications, a lot of homework to do before we present to the insurance company for them to meet in a way to get their buy-in, right? So they listen to us, multiple round meetings, 3 to 4, if I can remember well. And it took us about 6 months to finally come up with the product. A lot of brainstorming there. A lot of research. We need to present a lot of research. We need to highlight to them your risk, their insurance company, so they need to understand the risk, your risk. And then the way we circular our product out is going to be more safer because you are not hitting the mass market, this kind of buy-in. Yeah.
Okay. When you talk about risk, and that's the main thing for insurance providers, right? That it makes sense to them from a business perspective. How do you make that case, you know, in terms of that risk benefit ratio?
Because based on the experience, right? Based on I'm coming from the underwriting background, I'm coming from a claims breakout. So it's easier when I need to talk to them comparing to perhaps a pure agent whereby they never worked in the back office before in an insurance company. So based on the experience and we can relate, it can be done. The benefit offer, right, it can be like we are told that the benefit offer can be just like any other children. I cannot show them any statistics since we never insured them before. So there's no statistics to show. It can only based on try to benchmark children living, explaining to them that children, because I'm circling the product just via school setup, right? So I understand the school environment. My child is there. My friend's children, they are there. So we understand how the children are, the school environment work, how they attach one child to with two therapists at certain school, and how do they actually put the children in a very small group, 4 to 5 versus 1 to 2 therapy. Actually, there's a very, very safe environment. I even share with them some parents who are very particular about their special needs child. On top of the therapy, they even send their own mate to tag along at the school, right? So it's very safe. I do not foresee how accident can be happen. You know, the risk, what is the risk? This is the point that we're trying to explain to the insurance company provider. And the benefit offer, we tell them, if there's your concern so much, let's say, how about you offer benefit lower than the existing, what the current existing schools offer, and we look into it. Try to run the program for a year or two. Then from there, we will get a loss ratio. But touch wood, so I can tell you, the loss ratio for this group of children are very good still.
And you say it's been a lengthy process for you. How long has it taken you?
3 to 4 months to finalize the discussions and about 6 months to be out in the market. That happened in year 2019.
All right. And it's currently available through schools, right?
Through school. Yes, correct. Special needs school.
Mrs. Yap, I saw you nodding along when Yi Ching was talking about, you know, the children do actually get I guess the parents are so much more concerned, and even their educators, I'm sure the caregivers are so much more concerned about their safety. It must be frustrating for you when there is the misconception that children with special needs are somehow more prone or just a higher risk to insure.
I guess it's how the public has been exposed to so-called the symptoms they put out there on Google or whatever, that these children, they would tend to want to, sometimes they would bang their head, you know, and they will do self-injury and all that. But it's not true. It's not true. It's some may, but not all. And especially when they are at a school, the teachers are there. They are already trained to watch out for those behaviors before it even arises. So, yeah, I think the children is how the caregivers are there beside them to watch, to teach them from young, and all. So then special needs children, autistic children, they're not self-injurious and all that. So it's a bit unfair when you say, oh, autism, no, we won't cover them because they are prone to all these things, like, you know, all this self-injury and all that. But see, you cannot group everybody into one like that. And then that's really discriminating.
Even autism itself has been recognized to be a spectrum, right?
Yes,
and every child is
a spectrum, and everyone. So the thing is, everyone, including us, we are all in a spectrum.
Yes, we are all different.
Yeah, what makes us different from them? Yeah, and
yeah,
that's my
So, you know, I'm still trying to explore more about how that discrimination actually has impacted your son and your family life, right? So medical is a huge concern as he's growing up. What about the lack of travel insurance, perhaps, you know, and how the lack of personal accident and all of that, has that impaired, you know, his ability to really just have a normal childhood?
That's right, but since the pandemic, we haven't been traveling. So I haven't considered any traveling insurance yet, but perhaps in the near future. So I will have to ask for savings. I did savings for him. Personal accident, I haven't. Okay, you see, as a parent, I wasn't really educated on whether a personal accident is the same as my medical card, can be used as my medical card. So I would assume that because I have a medical card, the personal accident thing would be covered in if he has an accident. So I think when parents want to look for all this insurance, we should be made aware of all the insurance that are available for our children, and they should advise on what are the benefits for all this and let the parents choose. what to get for the children. I think parents especially should be given that, because we are already up to the head, you know, on like medical card, but maybe there are other plans, you know, that could be offered to our children. So yeah, this is one thing that I think we should be made aware of.
Yiching, from your personal experience and also dealing with other parents, that misconception, that lack of awareness, what would you advise?
Okay, unfortunately, for insurance, different kind of insurance serve different purpose. Personal accident, it mainly for, like I say, for injury related cover, whereby medical card does cover more than this, even including illnesses. That's the portions that insurance company rejected most of the time. While critical illness are lump sum payment, it's a big lump sum payment. Say if you are buying 500,000 cover, if you diagnose with stage 3 onwards critical illness, insurance company will pay you a lump sum of 500,000. Death claim is very easy to understand. You pass away, they will pay you a lump sum cover as well, whereby travel is actually served mainly on the trip cancellations, loss of luggage and things like that. Okay. I will say for now, we need insurance company to support, obviously, and we need government to support, unless they are looking into this in a very big way. Then insurance company perhaps have no choice but to look into this. Otherwise, as a parent for special needs, what we can do is we get whatever best available. At least we have something to protect our loved one. Okay, say now we do have a limited access to personal accident. We do have access to a saving plan, but not to the rest yet. While fighting, you know, this is like a journey. Things will evolve, I'm sure, but perhaps not now, but in the future. While waiting for that, we just try to get whatever we can that the entitle at least serve some purpose in the productions area.
Insurance coverage for therapy, that must be even further down the line then.
No. I do have a good news when touching to this part. A recent insurance company, right, they have just launched a plan which cover for therapy. This is actually one of the, this is one of the Australia specialty. The government actually provide a lot of support in terms of therapy. And we do know that therapy, although it's not part of the illnesses cover, but it's actually a necessity for people, especially with learning disability and mental disability. It's one of the must-do things, how you call it. Yeah. We do have now. But the condition is... it cannot be you already know that the child or the adult is a special needs, then we go and buy it. It cannot be. It works the other way around. Before you are diagnosed with special needs, you have to buy it upfront. If, let's say, just like we use Mrs. Yap Kit as an example. Mrs. Yap time, I think 14 years back, right? Your child is already 14 years old. We do not have this plan. But fortunately, for now, we do have. Assuming Mrs. Yap now get a plan for a one-year-old child, not knowing that the child actually we have autistic conditions. Mm-hmm. Yes. And you bought the plan. At the age of 4, you discover that your child have an autistic, and now you need to trigger to claim for a therapy. Can you make a claim to the policy? The answer is yes. There's already exists in the market. Just launch this month.
But what are the chances of parents purchasing cover like that? I mean,
before they know it.
Yeah, I guess it's like medical. It's like CI as well. The reason many people don't purchase is because you think it's not going to happen to you.
Yes, correct. I mean, that's all about insurance. It's actually a risk mitigation. Insurance is all about risk mitigations. Yeah, when you buy something, when you buy insurance, when you know you need it, that is called a pre-existing conditions. And that will be, I think it's fair lah, to insurance business and also to consumer, right? The reason I buy it, because you do not know what will happen to you. When there is something happen to me, at least I already have an existing protection in place, right? Rather than, oh, I know I definitely need this cover, I go and buy it. That it will not be fair to the insurance company as well. Yeah, in medical, actually, we know that, especially for medical portions, yeah, each and every year without a single doubt, insurance company facing 100% loss every single year. Yeah. So definitely there will be, yeah, from their point of view, yeah, there'll be a bit, we will say, cautious. Yeah. Pre-existing is definitely not something that they want to insure. So it's a fair game. You have to be, coming from a very, how to put it, yeah, clear mind why you need to get this insurance in place. It's not definitely I want to make claim in the future. But in case I want to make claims in the future, at least I have something to buckle me up, to back me up, things like that.
Mrs. Yap, yeah, for other parents who are listening, you know, and it can be hard for us to look towards a very uncertain future. You don't think that something like that will happen to your child. What is your advice to parents?
I would say to every young parent out there or first-time parents out there, no matter what, it's very important to get insurance coverage for your child and whatever policy that will cover them in terms of their health, their education. You should get it in place. But when they're 1 month old, you know, even though if it's the, you cannot buy, what do you call that? Is it the premium policy or whatever, but at least get something to cover. Yeah, I think it's very, very, very important.
Oh, I got a good news. Sorry, I had to add on. I had to call a good news. Actually, not 1 year old. Now the advancement of insurance go as low as little as a baby of 14 weeks in your
14
womb.
Weeks.
Yeah, correct.
Now it's 14 weeks.
Yeah, 14 weeks in your womb. So which means in case, we call it a baby care insurance. A few companies have it. They have their own strength, okay? As they don't just cover a baby when they are born. They cover of any misfortunes when they are still in the womb. For example, miscarriage. For example, complication arise from pregnancy is very common, yeah, because mother nowadays, I will say, they are pretty stressed, especially they are working mother. So these are, this kind of protections already in place for many years. So if I would say the advice, just to enhance from what Mrs. Yap, just to add on, yeah, you don't have to think about buying insurance when the baby is born. You can even prepare for even before they are born.
And Yiching, looking ahead, what are your plans next? You have a personal accident policy in place. What are you going to fight for next?
The long journey fighting, yeah, I will still say critical illness and medical plan for special needs. I will go a very long way. I mean, I consider myself still very young. Okay, I'm not afraid of this fighting journey. I still stand very firm on my belief. Insurance company or government should really look into it. Yeah, seriously. If they feel that, like I say, there is medications, there is assessment, then they're not comfortable if offering the same benefit to the special needs, but that they can try to look into offering something very basic. May not be 1 million cover, which is very common nowadays in any medical card. Anybody is having it 1 million or anybody is having it unlimited cover for their lifetime. Well, maybe not there. But what about if we try to offer them with 400,000 cover, 500,000 cover, half of it, yeah? And they can even like add additional premium to it if they're not comfortable. Because I'm sure, we are special. Moms with special needs, parents with special needs, we do know the cost of expenses needed to cover for them is actually higher compared to our other kids at home. But we can accept it. At least there is something for us. We do not want to go to the extent, yeah, Mrs. Yap, if you agree with me, do not want to go to the extent of having this fear. Holding this fear, you know, we go and see doctor, can I tell my insurance company? Who can I tell my insurance company? I'm fear they're rejecting me. I'm fear, what if they find out? You know, we don't want to have this fear. If you want to get a cover, get it transparently. You know, I have a kids with this special needs. You can offer to me. I get it from you, perhaps with a higher premium pay. I do not mind. So we hope. Yeah, that's my next journey.
And Mrs. Yap, how do you hope insurance companies will view children with special needs?
I don't want them to view them as a different human being altogether, as in like they're off. It's just treat them the same. As it's just because they don't have their own life skills on their own, but they will still have their caregivers, you see. They will still have caregivers, just like old people, and they have their caregivers. So it's just to cover them, give them a basic protection.
Thank you so much for joining me, Yi Ching and Mrs. Yap. We've been discussing insurance for children with special needs. I've been speaking to Sun Yi Ching, an insurance agent and a parent of a child with special needs, as well as Mrs. Yap, mother of a teenager with autism. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.